Don't try to win me over, Texas Rangers. Don't try to win me. Don't you think that you've got the ability to win me over? You don't, all right? Yesterday, the Arlington Rangers got their opportunity to go visit the White House, as professional sports and college sports champions tend to do. They got the opportunity to go meet El Presidente at the White House. And they did a very dramatic walk down the hallway to the podium where they met President Biden and got their, you know, their moment in the sun in recognition for winning last year's World Series. And as they walked down the hallway, they were serenaded by a symphony orchestra type band, like a small symphony orchestra kind of deal. And when you talk about walkout music, Lonzo, this is what the symphony orchestra played for the Rangers as they walked down the hallway to meet the president. That, of course, would be a classical version of Creed's Higher.
Took me a second to get it because
I saw the recognition.
No, the drums were really strong, and I right away focused on them and was having, and then my mind went to where it needed to go. But yeah,
your brain was elevated to a new level. It went to a higher consciousness. I don't know what to tell you. I loved it immensely. It was the second greatest baseball. So for those of you that don't know, last year in their run to the World Series championship, the Rangers used Creed as their like clubhouse jam. Higher was their clubhouse jam. And we all should have seen the World Series championship incoming for the Rangers. So when they walked out last night to meet El Presidente at the White House, that's what they elected to walk out to. I've made it no secret that I don't like the state of Texas. That's not true. The state of Texas itself is beautiful. All right? You've got some oases across that state. San Antonio is a lovely city. Houston has got some fantastic places to hang out. And if you're like me and you like the weird, Austin is and I'm a big fan. I love Austin. I don't like Arlington. I don't like Dallas. I don't like the attitude that those people have. Okay? The people from Texas are some of the most, arrogant, over-the-top people. Like, Texas genuinely believes that they could just be a country tomorrow. They can't, all right? You can't do it. You're not good enough, Texas. But the Rangers going all in on Creed to drive them to a World Series championship, I kind of got a soft spot for that team now. It is a great one. The second greatest baseball song that's ever been recorded. And this felt like, when I heard this yesterday, a wonderful time. Because it's been a few minutes. It seemed like a wonderful time to break out for the first time in a while the greatest baseball song ever recorded. How did the Marlins ever lose a game? How were they this bad? The Marlins have no excuse to be this bad. They're one of two National League teams that are out of a playoff spot right now. All right? Well, out of contention for a playoff spot. By the way, the Braves, no longer in a playoff spot. Season ended today. The Braves aren't going to the postseason. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I don't understand how the Marlins ever lose another game. There's no excuse for it. There's no reason for it when they have this. Scott Stapp gave you a personalized fight song. A fight song, not just like generic, you picked a song and made it your fight song, like the Rangers did. And good on them for doing it. They picked a banger. You had an opportunity here, Marlins, to do something special, which was win every World Series ever played ever again after Scott Stapp handed you a personalized fight song and you blew it. It's irresponsible. It's unacceptable. The Rangers, on the other hand, decided to take theirs and ride it right to the natty. To take theirs and not just win a title with it. But when these guys look back and tell their kids and their kids' kids about the time that they met the President of the United States as the reigning, defending, undisputed world champions of baseball, that they walked down the hallway to Creed to do it. Spectacular. Hey, while I'm right here, there was another moment that dropped that I found and absolutely adored. There's a pitcher by the name of Andrew Chafin. Andrew Chafin is a closer who is currently employed, as it stands post the trade deadline, by the Texas Rangers. I don't want to look. Anyway, he got brought into the clubhouse after the deadline, and the other day did a little media appearance where a reporter asked him how he was fitting in. Now, before I play this audio, and I'll bring the picture up here for the great one in the stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate of the Rob Brown Show on YouTube, the Rob Brown Show on Twitch. I'm going to show you young Andrew's picture here in just a minute, and then this clip will make a ton of sense. My man said, I fit in because there's a bunch of rednecks, and when asked about it, said, yeah, I'm not going to tell you who the rednecks are, but we talk about trucks and heavy machinery and a few other things that
sounds
I like.
Sounds like he had a bit of a trawl, something in there when he was talking. You know, those guys kind of have a talk like they got something in there when they're talking.
I wouldn't be shocked, great one, and I wouldn't be shocked.
A pinch of something, I don't know.
I'm about to show you
skull
why.
Or a Copenhagen.
Let me show you why. And again, if you're not watching on the stream, now's a wonderful time to do it because I'm about to show you exactly why. And the beautiful thing is that I am relatively confident that...
You're going to get us flagged again, aren't you?
No, I don't think so. This is just a picture. I think we're allowed to use that. This is why. This is Andrew Chafin. This man with that glorious stash and that slapping mullet is the man who said, I fit in well in the clubhouse.
He sounds a lot younger than he looks.
He does. You're not wrong. I'll even move the logo so you guys can get the full face of glory from this guy. My dude is rocking a 10 of 10. And just so we're clear, though, because, like, you know, you see guys like this sometimes, like, they have the full head. No. This is mullet central, bud. Like, A-plus, backwoods, I drive a Chevy Camaro mullet. And that stash that looks like he could have starred in the movie Tombstone and not stood out.
Wow, if I drove a Chevy Camaro, I'd be really mad about typecasting right now.
I mean an old Camaro, like the sleek Camaro, like the not the boxy new age Camaro, the old Camaro that was just one straight line backwards. The Camaro that my high school girlfriend Sarah drove.
All right, now this dude's an El Camino guy. He did, for sure.
That's not unfair.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
My dude said...
Is it a truck? Is it a car? Yes.
My dude said, I fit in because we got rednecks in the clubhouse who like talking about what I like talking about. Do you want to tell us who they are? No. In fact, you know what? Screw it. I'm playing it again. Nope. Nope.
What kind of heavy equipment? Do you like bulldozers and stuff or, you know, backloaders?
I mean, whatever we got out. I can't even do it. Whatever we got out in the front yard, I suppose. All right. We talk about my Chevy F650.
He also sounds like he might be running a garage out in the middle of nowhere at the beginning of a horror movie. I'm just saying.
It's got the... Got the 450s on the back of it, dual catalytic converters. I don't know what any of these things mean, but that's what Andrew says. All right. I got them aluminum wheels, the big ones in the back. I'll tell you right now, you want to walk out to the truck with me right now, I got a cold 46-pack of Busch Light out there. We can crack a Busch right now.
Got daggum twin Hemis.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. If one Hemi ain't enough, two Hemis ought to do her. All right? So we go. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk on out back to the truck. We're going to pop open, shotgun a couple of them Busch Lights that's out there on ice. Because ain't nothing better after a baseball game, Lonzo, than a cold beer. Not beer. A cold beer.
There you go.
Got to get a cold beer. We're going to drink us a cold beer. We're going to take us a swig of Jack Daniels right out the bottle.
So did you decide to go through, you probably should take that picture down. Did you decide to go through the roster and try to figure out who the other rednecks are?
No, but that seems like a fun game to play.
Just by picture? I mean, you know.
Seems like a fun game to play. Because there's a couple of options, but like not a ton, right? And again, I don't mean to stereotype or typecast, right? I don't mean to stereotype or typecast, but like I suspect there's going to be some dudes on the roster that you're like, all right, not that guy, right? Like clearly not that guy. That guy's not going to be the guy that goes out there and goes, I caught a 7.4-pound bass this weekend, Borsch. I'll tell you what, I took him home. Mounted him. He's hanging right over the bedroom where me and the missus spend our evenings. Now, if y'all want to go out to the truck, I got some deer jerky. I done killed it yesterday. Took it home. Cooked them right up.
Got that stuff processed quick. I thought it had to, maybe got a, what are they?
Nope.
A dehydrator?
My grandpappy done taught me how to make jerky in 22 seconds. I hit this sucker on the way home last night. I took him home, and we gonna feast today, boys. Y'all want some jerky before you go up to the at-bat? Okay. That's a thing that... Okay. We're not addressing that.
He just teched him with that, though.
Well, yeah, because he just performed a move that is not... That's like TVMA in the pro wrestling. That dude just hit the other dude with a move that Rob Gronkowski thinks is hilarious.
I knew you would go there.
How do you not? Hey, good job on professional wrestling Orange Cassidy, by the way.
You mean amateur wrestling Orange Cassidy?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Because professional wrestling Orange Cassidy is professional
wrestling. I'll tell you right now, I done watch these boys rolling around in their cute little ballerina unitards
Stop it.
I'm just saying, When I was growing up, they never would have let that be shown on TV. That's just filth, is what that is. Anyway, that's Andrew Chafin. He's a man's man. He goes into the baseball clubhouse. He talks about truck and heavy machinery. Just the one truck, though. All right, his Chevy 19Z5043 1974 special that Grandpappy gave to me back when I was a boy.
Don't need them daggum Fords.
Shane said, oh my God, I have a boss that loved to hunt. And like my first week, he let me try his homemade deer jerky. And I've been craving it ever since. I'm going to tell y'all, this is jokes aside. That voice I was doing, not a joke. That's my uncle, right? That's my uncle, John L. We call him John Hell. He lives out in the woods in Crestview, Florida. And that's how he talks. And I'm going to tell you right now.
Does he hunt them gators?
No, he hunts deer. He hunts whitetail right there on the property. All right. He got him about a dozen dogs. live out in the kennel out up on top of the hill. He takes them out back every hunting season. And I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing better than when grandmama picks up the phone. She goes, hey, your Uncle John L. just stopped by. He brought about 40 pounds of deer jerky. You want to come get? I'll be there in a minute. I'm going to go buy a pickup truck with a dual Hemi in it to make sure I can carry that all back to the house. We can make all the Andrew Chafin redneck jokes we want. If y'all ain't never had a redneck call you up and offer you some deer jerky or some fresh backstrap that they done cooked up at the house, you ain't lived right. All right? You just ain't.
All right, you're going to have to, after the break, describe, or during the break, what backstrap is.
It's the best part of the deer. It's the deer that runs from the legs up over the shoulders.
Just never heard it called backstrap before.
Backstrap.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all what we're going to do. Me and Lonjo, we finna run to a break. And during that break, I'm going to explain to Lonzo exactly what backstrap is in the proper way to spice up your deer jerky. Before you start, it's the number one Christmas sack you can get, all right? So, thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. Much obliged. That feller over there, that's Alonzo. My name's Rob Brown. We appreciate y'all being a part of the show, and we're going to be right back. It's the Rob Brown Show, right here on the Fan Upstate. Hell yeah. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. I am Rob, the great Milonzo on the other side of the ones and twos this AM. Max said my mom would make spaghetti with deer meat. Yo, I'm telling you, deer meat is dramatically underappreciated.
It really depends on how it's seasoned. I mean, because it can be real gamey if it's not seasoned correctly.
I thought good food didn't need seasoning.
Well, that does.
Oh, that does.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I didn't say it was good food, did I?
Love me some deer meat. All right, we've been bouncing around a little bit of anything and everything.
I almost made some deer meat this morning, but the deer made the right decision at the last second.
There it is.
Probably a couple inches away from
some backstrap?
From not being here, probably, yeah.
Three games coming up tonight. The Atlanta Falcons will open their preseason on the road against the Miami Dolphins. The Houston Texans will play preseason game numero dos. They are on the road at Pittsburgh. And the Eagles and the Ravens will have a Bird Bowl at M&T Bank in Baltimore, Maryland this evening. Those games at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 7:30, respectively. Atlanta tonight, I'm interested. Rondale Moore is a wide receiver they picked up this offseason. Rondale Moore was projected to be the number 4 wide receiver on the depth chart, but is a slot receiver specialist. I am intrigued in what they do after they lost Rondale Moore for the season. On Wednesday afternoon, Rondale Moore was carted off of the field in an air cast. Yesterday, the Falcons confirmed that it was a season-ending knee injury. They did not, at least that I saw, specify any further than that, but did say it was season-ending. Rondale Moore now unavailable for the Atlanta Falcons. So what do the Falcons do in order to throw the football to a slot receiver? I have been saying for a while now, I actually really, really like Atlanta's skill position set this year. I think Drake London has been widely underappreciated. I think Darnell Moody is a wide receiver that has the opportunity this year to have genuinely have a breakout season. He spent the last 4 years with the Chicago Bears. In 2021, got 140 targets, crossed 1,000 yards. Last 2 years, a couple of injuries that hampered him a little bit. 61 targets each of the last 2 years. Just under 500 yards in 2022. Just over 400 yards last year for the Bears. But let us not forget that the Chicago Bears the last 2 years have been a dumpster fire. Doug Eberflus. That's who. By the way, I did watch episode one of Hard Knocks Chicago Bears last night. My number one takeaway was that while I think it is fantastic that the Bears broke out an old school slip and slide to teach their quarterbacks how to slide, because they asked the QB room, do y'all know how to slide? Did you ever play baseball? And the entire QB room went, no. They asked Caleb Williams, how do you think you slide? And his answer was, I just know my feet got to be up, which is correct. Which is correct.
Some of those guys don't know that.
There have been some ugly sliders.
And they get injured.
Yeah. So how did they teach the boys how to slide? They took the entire QB room out to a slip and slide on the practice field to teach them how to slide. Great idea. The best part of the entire episode, aside from the Nick Saban quote that I played you the other day, because Nick Saban said, yeah, Rob Brown's right. You should listen to him. He knows ball. Was that they put all eight guys in the QB room onto one golf cart to bring them out there. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I don't know why I fell out laughing at that. They have one golf cart. Anyway, watched it last night. It was enjoyable. It was enjoyable. So the Bears have been trash, which makes sense why Darnell Mooney's numbers would have come down. Shane said, Mooney has had a 1,000-yard season, but he's had subpar QB play. That's putting it nicely, frankly. Okay? The Bears have been trash. Right now on the depth chart, Atlanta's got Ray McCloud that is going to be moving up into the role that Rondale Moore was supposed to fill on the depth chart. Ray McCloud, of course, is a former Clemson Tiger. So you will likely see a Clemson guy. Now, Ray McCloud is also, despite the fact that he's been in the league for 5 seasons now, not a guy who gets a ton of looks. Played for Buffalo back in 2018. He had 6 targets on the season. Played for Pittsburgh in 2020 and 2021, had 22 and 66 targets respectively. His best year came in 2021 in Pittsburgh, 66 targets, converted 39 into catches for 277 yards. He has blended with the 49ers the last couple of years. No shame in not having great numbers as wide receiver 4 or 5 on that team, because that team has been arguably the best wide receiver core in football the last 2 seasons. 25 targets in 2022, converted 14 into catches for 243 yards and 1 touchdown. In 2023, last year, played in only 12 games, had 15 targets, caught 12 of them, 135, no tutties. Did have a 41-yard grab. He's kind of been a deep ball specialist. Here's why I am now concerned for the Falcons. Because Ray McCloud is your deep ball threat guy. He's your guy that you put him out in a slot, you try to get him a mismatch against a man corner, and you try to have him cook that guy over the top, because the over-the-top safety is shaded to the other side of the field to the primary. That's the goal for Ray McCloud. I don't think that he really fills that role all that well with Atlanta. And on top of that, and here's where Kirko is going to get questioned for Atlanta. Kirk Cousins' specialty is not the deep ball. All right? Kirk Cousins has looked like he's got a good deep ball the last couple of years, because Kirk Cousins has been working with a couple of exceptional wide receivers. He's got, again, a good wide receiving core in Atlanta, does Kirko, but he does not, I don't think, have that exceptional deep ball wide receiver. Now, Ray McCloud hasn't really had to, or I really shouldn't say had to, hasn't really gotten the opportunity to be that guy. because he's played on teams with Debo and Ayuk. Guys that are bona fide, genuine number one and number two guys, but also guys that can run the deep ball route and run it effectively, run it efficiently, which takes the need off of Ray McCloud. Can they do that within the Atlanta offense? Because they, again, I don't know that you necessarily want to say they have the deep ball wide receiver. Drake London, who last year had 110 targets turned into 69 catches for 905 yards, is a dude that gets you 13 yards a catch on average. He had one, I think, 40-ish yard reception last year, and that's pretty much it. That is a slot that Ray McCloud, I'm good at this, can theoretically slide into. My question is, can Kirko take advantage of that? Can Kirko utilize that? That being said, I don't know what we're getting out of Atlanta tonight. I don't know that Atlanta is going to roll the starters out tonight. I don't know what we are going to see. The Falcons did release their depth chart ahead of this game. There are some interesting pieces of information available in it. But I don't know how much time, if any, we're going to get out of different guys. Kirk Cousins is listed on the depth chart as the starter. At the wide receiver, Drake London is listed to start out there. Darnell Mooney, Ray McCloud is slotted in as a starter. And Bijan Robinson is slated to play tonight. But how long do we get to see anything out of the Atlanta offense? All right, there's some Falcons preseason for you. When we come back, let's take a look down the rest of the preseason schedule for the weekend. And we'll talk about what we're looking for in preseason games number one for most of the teams. We'll do that coming up on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Lonzo and you, it is the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Lonzo and you, 844-326-3663. That is the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, 844-FAN-FONE. Houston at the Steelers tonight. We will, my understanding, not see Russell Wilson. If, big capital I on this, if, which he won't, Justin Fields is going to take Russell Wilson's job before week one. Again, he's not going to.
You keep saying that, but high praise from everyone on the team about how he's been doing.
What are they going to say? Oh, he's really disappointing. We traded a lot for this guy. Too bad he stinks.
You just don't talk about him because you know there's a brewing quarterback controversy.
There's not a quarterback controversy.
You're right.
Mike Tomlin has already said it. Russell Wilson's QB1. Mm-hmm. Like, he's established that.
Mm-hmm. He can also change his mind.
I mean, sure. He could.
Because also, of stellar play in actual game.
Sure,
action.
And Justin Fields could also stink, but we're not playing the also game. We're playing the what is game.
All I know is that one's actually on TV and I can watch it. So
that one is on TV on the NFL Network.
Yes, because they advertised it last night.
Atlanta, Miami on NFL Plus, same as Philly at Baltimore tonight. Derrick Henry not playing for the Ravens in the preseason at all, and you know, he's one of those guys that I'm very good with that, right? I'm good with King Henry not playing in the preseason because of the way that he plays and because of the fact that if the Ravens are going to get themselves another crack at Patrick Mahomes and his Messiah complex, they're going to need Derrick Henry to be a dude for them. So I don't want to knock too much tread off the tires. Derrick Henry knows how to run the football. He knows how to play. Now, do I want him getting some snaps inside of the new offense? Yeah. But Derrick Henry's not a guy that you're putting a very complicated run scheme around, right? Derrick Henry's not a guy that you're putting a whole bunch of chaotic, crazy left, right, up, down runs around. Derrick Henry's a dude that you're handing the football and saying, go that way. Go that. See that? See that? See that patch of grass down there? That's a different color Go touch that grass. That's what I need out of you. So I'm not worried about that. Here is my question. As we enter week one of the preseason, a week one in which some teams are going to play some starters. Atlanta, clearly one of them. We've already talked about it. The Chiefs are going to be playing their starters for an entire quarter. Rashad talked about this on the PMP live stream last night, and I thought it was a worthy conversation of having. The reigning, defending, undisputed NFL champions, led by a head coach in Andy Reid that I'm comfortable saying knows what he's doing to some degree, they are playing their starters. Lonzo, you good with them coming out for an entire quarter?
Absolutely. Now, if they do this today, they probably don't play the rest of the preseason.
I mean, assuming they play well, right?
Yeah, okay.
Was that disrespectful?
Yeah, well, it was. My laugh was definitely sarcastic.
I'm good with it.
If they come out and play poorly, does he say stay in the game? Probably not. I think they're good. I want to see this because I want to see, even though we won't see a whole lot of them, probably what Xavier Worthy looks like.
He's probably going to look fast. He's going to look small, but fast.
That's what I'm guessing. Probably pretty fast. Yeah.
I'm more intrigued in, because we've talked about this, Xavier Worthy, who to me, as a rookie, and I don't think you ever want this, but I also think sometimes you don't have a choice. Xavier Worthy, I think, is your key this year to getting back. I think he is the key to getting back.
Hollywood Brown is going to get touches. Scott Moore is going to get touches. We know Kelsey's going to get touches. I know, you know, there's enough of spreading the ball around that he will not be a focal point. And all I can say is if he can catch those guys when they're dinked and dunked by Kansas City, better look out because suddenly he's going to break open.
Hollywood Brown's is a very good wide receiver who, by the way, can occasionally suffer from a bout of the dropsies, which was a huge problem for y'all last year.
But he's still an upgrade over what they've had the last couple of years.
I don't disagree with that either. He's absolutely an upgrade because, again, you guys, just like Hollywood Brown, suffered from a pretty big case of the dropsies last year. And that's a problem.
No, that was all Patrick Mahomes' fault.
Well, yeah, I mean, he got so carried away in his Messiah complex, he left everybody else behind.
Everyone said that it was all his fault, which was very disrespectful.
And now they ranked him the number four player in the NFL? Yeah,
good move.
Oof.
And some teams make fun of him with a Kermit the Frog puppet. So, I mean, you know.
Patrick Mahomes here. It's pretty funny, right? It's not like it's a joke that nobody's made.
He doesn't look like he thinks it's funny, though. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if we thought jokes were funny based on the people that they were about, this would be a lot shorter show.
Would you have made fun of him?
Not if I played in the NFL. Not if I was a defensive back. By the way, Caleb Williams said yesterday that, who is it, Jared Goff is a top two quarterback in the NFL. Did not list Mahomes in his top four.
Yep, did not. Way to go, guy who's never been on the field yet.
I adore, all right? I adore, and you should too, Colonel Grudge. You should have immense respect for this, all right? You're the king of grudges. I adore that the entire league has decided Mahomes has won enough. Let's all get after him. The whole league, even the league itself putting out their top player power ratings. We're like, yeah, we're not putting that dude number one.
I don't.
The whole league, go get him.
I don't recall Joe Montana being disrespected like this, or Tom Brady, or any
of them. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Lonzo doesn't remember Tom Brady catching strays. Definitely not.
By people in the NFL?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. I don't recall that, no. I don't.
They made fun of his, the roast was pretty good.
Yeah, but that was well after his career was over, like a year later.
Thomas Wayne Allen,
although
Christopher Brady.
As said, if the situation was right, he would come back.
To a roast or to the league?
To the league.
Did you see the pictures he put up the other day? Bro is shredded right now. Like, he looks better now than he looked as a player.
I'm not sure it's natural. He has a history of cheating.
Tell you what, Tom, Let me know your cheating strategy because I might be in, bro.
So which is the right way? I guess there is no right way. Do you play your starters in the first game or do you not? You have to pick a game. It's usually one game where the starters play for a couple series or a quarter.
See, I think I subscribe to it. Okay. In a perfect world where my team is healthy and in a rhythm, I do it in game one. And I do it in game one so that if somebody catches a tweak or a bruise or whatever, I'm giving them like 3 full weeks to get right for week one when it matters. I don't have an issue, say, for instance, not playing Bryce Young last night if I'm Carolina, right? Because
That was a safety issue for sure.
Exactly. Not only do I have some guys banged up, but the guys that are banged up are the guys that have a direct impact on Bryce Young's health and well-being.
By the way, I love they were interviewing him and asked him if he wanted to be out there. You could tell he did not.
But he said, I love cheering on the boys. I love being over here and cheering on the fellas. You know, at the end of the day, we're all here's my favorite thing. I may be misremembering how he phrased it, but I'm pretty close, I think. He was like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all competitors. But he didn't follow that up with, so of course I want to be out there. He was like, at the end of the day, we're all competitors. So I'm just rooting on the guys. I'm like, yeah, those are different things, Bryce. Those are different things.
Oh, you could see it in his eyes. He was so grateful he was not out there last night.
And don't get me wrong. I'm grateful he wasn't out there last night, too. Because, again, you'd be putting him behind guys who are trying to make the team as offensive linemen against guys who are trying to make the team as defensive linemen. So those defensive linemen, they kind of get their name mentioned if they, you know, rack a starting QB into the turf. They kind of get talked about a little bit. So yes, in the situation like last night, I think Dave Canales made the right decision to not roll Bryce Young out there. The Chiefs, on the other hand, no problem with them starting week one. Because again, if Mahomes takes a helmet to the ribs and he needs a couple of weeks to get his breath right and back under him, I'm giving him effectively 3 full weeks plus to get back and get right. If Xavier Worthy catches the first ball and he dives headfirst into the turf and gets concussed, I'm giving him 3 weeks to get through protocol and be ready for week one. I think it makes sense. So, and this was a conversation that was going on around social media last night in regards to the Panthers, was like, why aren't we, why are we, whatever. I think it is, like most things, something that people want to address with like a broad blanket over 32 NFL teams. And the reality is, not all teams are created equal. They're not. Not all teams. Not, in fact, most teams aren't in the same place as other teams. The Chiefs are, I'm comfortable saying, Super Bowl ready, right? They're Super Bowl ready. They're bringing back the core of last year. The additions that they have made that are important to the team are vets, with the exception of Xavier Worthy. And again, I say this respectfully, Xavier Worthy's job is run fast that way and be ready. That's your job. Take the top off the defense, and if the single high doesn't go with you or if the double high doesn't shade to you, be ready in case Mahomes uncorks a dinger ball at you. Just be ready. Run fast that way and be ready. That's his whole role in this offense, I think. Now, maybe Andy Reid gets me. Maybe we see Xavier Worthy running some more complicated patterns. Maybe we see him playing a little more underneath. I doubt it. We'll find out. But that's his job. So the Chiefs are effectively Super Bowl ready today. So yeah, roll your starters out there in week one. Let your starters get some full speed reps. Give them 3 weeks off if they need it, versus a team like Carolina that you go, you guys are nowhere near ready. Your offensive line is dinged up. Your wide receiver core is dinged up and old. We're gonna take it easy. We're gonna ease in a little bit. Let some of the young guys who you're gonna have to rely on for stretches this year. It is arguably more important that some of the younger guys, some of the reservists, get more PT than some of the vets. I need more PT, though, for John Mingo and Terrace Marshall Jr. than I need for Adam Thielen.
Especially after last night, for sure.
I mean, even if we didn't have last night, I need Mingo or TMJ or Leggett or whoever to step up and be a dude so that I know who my next dude is when the season starts. I know what Adam Thielen can do. He just did it. I know what Deontay Johnson can do. He just did it.
I think in one sense you can try to judge them by who's throwing them the ball, but he threw the ball right to him last night. Jack Plummer wasn't like it was on near the dirt or was way too high. He was throwing the ball to them and they were just dropping it.
He had a couple that were a little bit off, but he's also a third string quarterback, right? Like that's not BY. If BY was throwing the ball like Jake Plummer or Jack Plummer last night, how many times did you do that yesterday? I did it like 17 times.
A couple. It was done a bunch on the broadcast, too.
Oh, for sure.
I think even Steve Smith did it a few times.
He did. I think Anish at one point got him. Was like, yep, not Jake. Definitely Jack. No relation. So, you are correct. It wasn't like he was bad because he was not bad. It wasn't like he was missing. He wasn't missing. He had a couple that were a little high, a little low, but like catchable footballs.
Well, later in the game, he got a little worse because he got beat up.
Oh, for sure. And also the weather was getting progressively worse throughout the evening. Again, it's part of the elements, right? This is why all NFL stadiums should be dumbed over.
You know, it didn't stop New England from scoring, so.
Don't disagree. I don't know. I don't have an issue. I don't have a problem with Canales not rolling out 32 starters last night. I don't have a problem with that. I also don't have a problem with Andy Reid rolling out, not just rolling his starters out tonight, but rolling them out for a full quarter. I'm good with that, all right? Let him go out there, get some live full-speed reps. If they get dinged up, you got 3 weeks. If they don't get dinged up, great. If they come out and they suck, you go, all right, boys, we're doing it again next week till you get it right. And if they come out and they absolutely smoke, then, cool, good job. All right, we'll see y'all in week one. Everybody go home, relax, right? So I think like most things, what makes sense for Kansas City doesn't make sense for Carolina and vice versa. Segue by saying the Andy Reid of sports flashes.
I do love cheeseburgers. The Carolina Panthers dropped their first preseason game to the New England Patriots last night, 17-3. Jack Plummer, not Jake, got most of the snaps at quarterback, going 11 for 21 for 86 yards. That's not real good. While recent addition Jake Luton went 7 for 9 for 38 yards. Mike Boone carried 8 times for 34 yards. And Jordan Matthews was the leading receiver with 3 grabs for 48 yards. The Atlanta Braves also lost. Were rocked by the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, 16-7. Charlie Morton was yanked from the game after 2.2 innings, surrendering 9 hits and 8 runs. The Brewers recorded 20 hits, including 6 home runs, earning the 3-game sweep over Atlanta. Hey, make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. And you guessed it. In case you didn't know, it's all wire to wire.